couple months in both announcements. Elders, there's a new devotional schedule in your mailbox, and the guys have been doing a good job on Wednesday night giving us some good news in addition to our gathered time. It's been a real refreshment to them, I think, and to everybody in the body. And also, ministry board, agenda for you in your mailboxes. We have a guest this meeting, Joe Toomey, who works in church planning. Also, he's a new regional director for churches in this area. So I want you to know, on Labor Day weekend, I have another boss. And one more boss. That's just what I need. No, Joe does a real good job, and he's coming to give ideas on following the Lord in a good way in the church and reaching out to our friends and neighbors. He is a great guy, and we appreciate all the district workers and folks who teach. I know Pastor Bill Underwood teaches a class on preaching for Bob and Mike and a bunch of other guys, so a lot of good things happening at that level. And then, boy, next week, come a little bit early, 10 o'clock for the church time, a little bit of donuts before that, and just to sing outside is a blessing. You're joining nature, as the hymn says, in manifold witness to God's great faithfulness, mercy, and love. So pray for a real good Sunday. Please come. Invite anybody you have a decent relationship with to come with you, and it'll be a good time together. And then we have the best chicken in Westmoreland County served afterwards by a group, and we're just glad to be together and honor God together and be a friend to somebody else. Exciting thing, you get to meet the other quarter of the church who is worshiping at 8:30, and often you don't get to see. So those are good things coming up. And tonight's service, a blessing too. I know of a new family coming tonight, and so that'll be a blessing, being all together. Well, two men were on their last hours before their death, and one was handling it as good as anybody can handle that real-life experience, very difficult time. And the other one was handling it not so well. He was angry at people around him. He was angry at God for what was happening to him. And so he hurled insults at people, hurled insults at God. And sometimes when you're in a lot of pain, you do that. But the man who was handling it a little better, the best he knew how, turned to the other man who was dying and said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God?" And that's a question that I think is on every chapter in the Bible, that God would turn to us and say, "Don't you fear God?" to live your life before Him. And Jesus was there, and He had a gracious word for anybody who would let respect for God and trust Him enter their soul. Jesus said that that man would be with Christ in paradise. But God asks us a question throughout Scripture: "Don't you fear me?" And we do so. We want to do so because we have an appointment to keep. We have a judge to face. And we have a life to answer for. And when we go before God, and He is our judge, we appear before Him. You know, that's going to be the most thorough, the most fair, the most just evaluation we ever had. Some guys are still in school and taking this test and that test, and our little ones do. But the most difficult test, most difficult evaluation and judgment you and I will ever face is standing before God at judgment. And it's a very sobering thing. And so Solomon said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, because God will bring every deed into judgment." Into judgment. And it's a scary thing to stand before God and to be judged by Him. And that's an inevitability that you and I, we're going to get there. You know, we'll have our last hours. And then we go. And Hebrews thought about that, and the Holy Spirit wanted to get people to think about the intensity and sobriety of life, even on a rest day weekend. And he said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Nobody will go before God in a proud manner or in a overly confident manner. We will all say at that point, I fear God as I go, and even under the grace of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, written to Christians also, God's Word says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's an appointment I won't break. You can't break. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus will ask this question similar to this. What part of your life did you live with me? And which part of your life did you try to live without me? And how did that work for you? You know, and things that we didn't even know about ourselves, God will show this. I wanted to straighten you out, and you didn't take my help at that point. And here we work together, and you have joy and you could cast that crown before Him. And the Lord will ask, what part of your life did you build your own kingdom? Or somebody else's kingdom who you thought was really cool? And what part of your life did you use to build my kingdom? Christ will ask those kind of questions as we go before the judgment seat of Christ. And even the Lord judges the thoughts and intentions of our heart. It's difficult to know even our own motives for why we do things. So much of the time, our best works and honors to God, we have mixed, a divided heart often about those things. And God would rather have us have a single-minded heart. Even His Word can give us a judgment in the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So if I don't know how I'm doing with God, I can always look at God's Word, and He will tell me with absolute truth and clarity how I'm doing with Him in regards to Christ. Part of anticipating standing before God. No wonder we're encouraged to have that clean heart before God. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a good daily prayer out of the Scripture. William Carey, who was the father of modern missions, did many great things, served in India for almost 40 years, telling people about the Lord, translated parts of the Bible into about 35 different languages. Just really, what a great guy. And he got to plan his own funeral, which all of us maybe should be thinking about that, you know, as you think at the end of a race that you run. And he chose as the text for his sermon to be preached at his funeral, Psalm 51:1. And think of who he was. This is the text. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. That was William Carey, a great Christian man. And he never lost the sense of having to stand before God, before the judgment seat of Christ, and being in great need of His mercy. And even the works that he did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, every work will be shown for what it is. Anyway, to say, Lord, search our hearts, know us, when there's wicked ways in us, lead us into the everlasting way. That's what God says in Psalm 19. So if there's wood and hay and straw in our life that are just a waste of time, don't you hate it when you waste time in any endeavor? Saddest of all, to waste most of our life not in fellowship with Christ, or not standing with a sense of being before Him in humility. Someone said, you know, we examine our hearts. Never in the history of people following Jesus has there been such a distinct lack of humility. And instead there's pride, full self-righteousness. And that's because we don't know God. We don't fear God as His people. So our relationship gets messed up and we miss out. And often until we face our own condition, we will never face God well, either in judgment or in fellowship. Isn't it great when you're with a loved one and you just face your own condition with that loved one? You're open and then there's a clicking of togetherness. And the relationship goes in the right direction. How similar with our relationship with Christ when we come before Him. What we do with Him lasts forever. Only what's done for Christ will last. What we do for selfishness is wasted. So God will bring every deed into judgment. Solomon said that. Fear God, for He will bring every deed into judgment. Fear God means to have a maximum respect for Him, more than you care about what anybody else thinks or even what you think, which you know is often amiss, what I think is amiss, to have a healthy respect for God. Often we fear people, we fear the world. What are they going to do now? I'm concerned about what those folks are doing. Be concerned about what God's doing. God told Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 8, don't fear man. The Holy One is the one you're to fear. And then he uses this phrase, the Holy One is the one you are to dread. Now, when we dread, it's not to run away from God, it's to follow at His feet. Say, Lord, we need Your help. You dread the great physician, I'll lean on His arm because I know He's the only one who can make us better. That's a healthy dread of God alone. So you don't run away from God. Judge, and then God really focuses the message of fear God, keep His commandments. Every deed will be brought into judgment. God's Word, if that wasn't enough to sober us up, God's Word brings it home even more personally by saying, judgment begins with the household of God. So that's for those who know the Lord. So when it comes to standing before God, we go first. And that should give us a sense of needing His grace and mercy, hearing Jesus call, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And I believe that changes a lot how we deal with our own sinful soul, the need for God's help, and the sinful souls of people around us. Sometimes we get very frustrated with, or very angry with. So we see a person who drinks too much alcohol, we say, hey, Mr. Person who drinks too much alcohol, or concerned about a person who is just secular, and they're thinking, hey, Mr. Secular Humanist, you better go the right way, and we're to say that. Or, hey, Mr. Pornographer, you know, America, the number one pornography capital in the world. Hey, Mr. Pornographer, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Hey, Mr. Abortionist, hey, Mr. Homosexual activity person, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And yet we know we go to the judgment seat of Christ first. So we say at the same time, Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners did show. So how we communicate the gospel to a very sad, broken, sinful world is always done with a sense of standing before God and His judgment of our own soul and in need of the grace of Christ. Could you get that message to a culture in need of the light of Christ? Could you be a Christian leader in the culture by being that way? And saying, I fear God because He will bring every deed into judgment. So you intercede for yourself and you intercede for those around you you love and Christ love, and He wants each to turn from sinful ways to God's ways. Solomon, he looked at his life and he said, I saw everything up and down and left and right. I took time to think through these things. I took time to read books. I got tired of that. And I want to get back to the shepherd. And all these things in life are moving me back to a shepherd that would save my soul. That's Solomon. And so he says, fear God and keep His commandments. So, by God's grace, you mean I could walk with the Lord? Yes, we can and we do, imperfectly, but we do by the grace of God. And what are God's commandments that He'd share with our heart again? The Bible's not a jigsaw puzzle. Very simple. Main things are the plain things. Plain things are the main things. Love God and love your neighbor. Begin there. Begin with the big ones that Jesus said were so important. I've seen this happen in the lives of others and in my life. There's a lot of turmoil in my soul or in the souls of people around me, and frustration with the world. What I've seen, when a person starts to love God and love others, pretty soon just the frustration and anger turns into good action steps for their own soul's health and for the health of other people around them. They say, now I have a plan. I will love God and I will love people in this and every setting God calls me to. And when that happens, the storm on the inside of their soul is calmed a bit. They pass on some direction and goodness to the people around them, which the Lord would love to have do through us. When in doubt, love God and love people. When in trouble, obey God. You might say, my life is such a mess, I don't know where to begin. Begin where you're at. There's no other place to begin. Someone said, other than right where you're seated. Begin there. Love God and love people. And I'll be an ambassador for Him. Fisher of men. Always saying, Jesus to Calvary did go. For you. Jesus to Calvary did go. For the people around you. Fear God and keep His commandments. The Lord's faithful in His discipleship. And often in His discipleship of us, He doesn't ask us, how much do you know? How much do you know? The Holy Spirit comes up and said, you're my child. How's it going with following Jesus? And often we tell God how much we know. Pretty good, Lord. Learned something new in the Bible today. Excited about that. Preacher said something about fearing God, keeping His commandments. I think I can explain justification. I think I have a good handle on sanctification. I know some of the details of Jesus' second coming. Pretty excited about that. I know some things about healing. That's what I know, Lord. I'm telling you, I'm in on this discipleship thing. And the Lord says, you know what? That can be helpful. I'm really not interested in how much you know. In fact, compared to me, you don't know very much. But what I'm interested in following my son, I'm interested in how's that love thing going for you? How's it going in your love for others? And your praises of me, your love for me, expressed by your obedience. And our fear of God is really connected to the love that He would show us. So the gospel of Christ and the great respect for God really are one experience the Lord gives us. Grace that teaches our heart to fear. Grace, our fears are relieved. And when God says, hey, I love you, and could you love me and people back, that shakes us up. That demands a response. Did anybody in your life ever say, I love you, and you just sat there and thought, so? You always had to do something. You had to run in the other direction and say, no thanks. Or you looked at it and said, well, thank you. I love you back. Let me think about it, or at least let me think about it for a while. But the gospel comes, teaching us the fear of God and thanks to Him. Augustine prayed when he was converted. He said, Lord, in loving me, you made me able to love. We know God loves us at the communion table, at the cross. Makes us able to love. Yeah, love God and love people. Let's go for it. Let's do this together with Christ's help. Fear God and keep His commandments. He will bring every deed into judgment. And without that, we really can't face the Lord like we need to. C.S. Lewis tells a story in his book, one of his books, about a man walking on the edge of heaven and not really wanting to go in. And all he wants to do is talk things through. His heart is not there yet. And so the people, one guy in heaven says, "Hey, come over here. I promise you no reward for the talent you have." Because the man's resting on his talent. "I'm a very talented guy. I have a lot of spiritual gifts in my life." He says, "No, that's not the most important thing." He says, come toward the Savior. Come toward the Savior. "I promise you no reward for your talents, only forgiveness for the times you've perverted them." Again, that recognition of need before Christ. He said, "I want to bring you to a land not just of questions and uncertainty, but of answers. And rest in God Himself. And you shall see the face of God." We know we need a pure heart for that. The man in heaven said, "When you were a child, you asked questions because you wanted real answers. Become that child again. Seek God with all your heart. Ask Him those questions. He'll give you real answers. Answers that are true. Answers that point you to His Son." And that's where Solomon was. He said, "All the streets I went down, all the times I thought about life from this side and that side and up and down, I go back to seeing life as goes from the one true shepherd. That somehow Jesus is calling me back to Himself." So what happened in church today? Anything? Well, Jesus called me back to Himself. It's a great promise in Ezekiel chapter 37. God says this about His people. He said, "I will save you from your own backsliding." That's pretty good. God said, "He'll save me from my sin. He'll save us from our own backsliding." And Solomon said, "I'm going back to the one shepherd, to fear Him, to love Him, to obey Him, and to know He waits to give me life." And so as God's people, as we walk with Him, would you take Solomon's command as a command from God? Fear God. Keep His commandments. And He'll bring every deed into judgment. That causes us to lean on Christ and say, "Thank You, Lord, for what You mean to us. Thank You for all You've done for me and are doing for me. And help me to walk in Your ways." Might there be a great fear of God among all of God's people. And what a pleasant thing it would be, I think, to the extent that we, in a healthy way, fear Him. It's in a healthy way that we give Him thanks, give Him praise, and have His joy and love come in our hearts. May we follow Him as He calls. Let's pray together.